had our neighbor lady one time. This was after that movie came out on The Passion. And I was getting ready to back up and go to work. And she come running out and she said, "Hey, have you seen The Passion?" And I pretend like I didn't know what she was talking about. "The Passion, what kind of passion are we talking about?" And she said, "The movie about Jesus." And I said, "No, I have not seen it, and nor will I go to see it." "Why not?" I said, "Because it's not an authorized script, a movie." She said, "Not authorized." I said, "The Lord never authorized it. Wouldn't you think that if you're going to do a movie about the Lord, that you'd get his authorization?" He never authorized. There's no picture or anything that he ever left with any of his disciples other than his word. You talk about something that's a testament. What we're reading right here is this word that he is leaving with his disciples as he himself faces the cross and what it is he came to accomplish. And thank God salvation's in the Lord, because they were certainly distracted. They couldn't even wait with him an hour in prayer. Everybody talks about a prayer life. These disciples that walked with Christ down to the final hour, when our Lord was aside, crying unto his Father in the light of the fulfillment of why he had come into this world. They were distracted. They were sleeping. Peter was denying. They're all scattering. Thank God it's not based upon us or anything in us, but his faithful work.
Saints. What does it mean? It means to be holy. Not in degrees of holiness, as if this is something that you're working out and progressively becoming holy. Are there any degrees to holiness? You're either holy or you're not. This whole notion that somehow at regeneration we inherit now a holiness or holy nature that somehow then becomes progressively, causes us to be progressively more holy, is completely foreign to Scripture. Some of the old writers talk about progressive sanctification in the sense of the more you go on in life, the more you go on in this walk, the less you sin. I'll tell you, the more I go on in this walk that I trust the Lord has led me in, I have to say I see myself more and more daily as a sinner. Whatever notion I had of goodness in myself, it fades. It fades in light of who God is, who Christ is. So why is James mentioned? Except for he would have been, you know, a leader for that particular congregation. We could go on and show you some examples there, but what I want you to see is, in spite of his relationship physically to the Lord, having the same mother, if you will, yet that gave him no advantage over any of the others. Just like Mary. People tend to exalt Mary, but she was blessed among women. She wasn't blessed above women. And she was taught by the Spirit concerning Christ, just like any of us has to be taught. And so all the more importance, I believe, in reading how James addresses himself here. James, a servant of God, even of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't even, you know, we have to piece it together that he may well have been the half-brother, you know, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that wasn't his badge of honor. That wasn't something he was promoting, but servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as I said, when it says of God, even of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of our worship, service, and praise belongs unto God, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll hear preachers, you know, emphasizing the experience of the worship of God. And even how they pronounce it sounds like, you know, there's an or about it. The worship of God. But you can listen to the whole message. There's nothing of Christ in him crucified. There is no worship of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished there at Calvary.